Good day. I'm Jackie Judd, joined by Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. And this is Health on the Hill, a conversation about activity on Capitol Hill regarding healthcare policy and legislation. Good day, Mary Agnes.
Nice to be here.
This coming Wednesday is the targeted date for the Senate Finance Committee to do a walkthrough of the options to finance healthcare reform. What at this point is their agreement on?
Well, that's an excellent question. I mean, I think there's an agreement to look at the current tax treatment of employer-provided health insurance to workers. Right now, it's not taxed, and that's a lot of lost revenue for the federal government. It's up to about $250 billion a year by some estimates. So lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are looking at that issue. They had another one of their roundtables last week on this very topic, and academics were saying to the senators, if you design the health insurance system now, you would never exclude this benefit from taxes. And they kept pointing to it as a very, very good place to go to finance health reform. On the other side, large employer groups and union groups say this would really hurt the employer-based health insurance system where most Americans get their health insurance. So they're going to take a very close examination of this, but possibly tread lightly when they come to making decisions. I think we'll know more about this in the weeks ahead.
And they can't answer the question of how to finance health care without also answering the question of who is covered. Is there agreement between Democrats and Republicans at this point that there needs to be a universal mandate? That is, everyone in some way will be covered.
They want to get everyone into the system, and they want to cover everyone. But of course, if you mandate that people have to have health insurance, you have to make sure they can afford it. So this brings in a larger question of subsidies, options for coverage, and where could people go to get the coverage they need? And again, how does this interact with what employers provide? But there is, to your point, great interest in having all Americans covered.
And this is the question that we always return to every week, and that is the question of the definition of the public option. Where do things stand on that now?
Still very much under discussion. There's great concern by the insurance industry and by some others who are watching this that if the government creates a government-sponsored, government-run health insurance program, will it give providers enough money? For example, will it go to Medicare payment rates, which many people view as below the market payment rates? Will it be an unfair competitor to the private sector? Will it hurt the employer-sponsored options? If it's on the table, it's very much under discussion, and I think, again, another area where we'll get clarity in the months ahead.
And is everything still on the timetable that had been discussed earlier, that is, to have something done by August?
It is. Finance Chairman in the Senate, Max Baucus, who heads the Senate Finance Committee, wants to mark up in June. Last week, House Democratic leaders reaffirmed at the White House they would move a bill by the end of July. Again, jumping back to the Senate, Democratic leaders there have said they want to move a bill by the end of July. So that is the timetable at this point.
And I want to look back for a moment before we wrap this up. At the beginning of last week, there was great fanfare at the White House with President Obama and leaders of different sectors of the healthcare industry trumpeting, apparently, a $2 trillion savings over the next 10 years. And then the real controversy began. One side saying that's not really what we had intended to say. That's not what we did say. Where did the White House and the industry end up by the end of the week?
By the end of the week, you had the groups involved, which included labor, hospitals, doctors, medical device makers, and health insurers, saying, we will work with the president to help reduce the cost of health care. And in a letter that these groups had released after the White House event you mentioned that came out at the same time, they said they would work with the president to help him meet his goal of reducing health care spending by $2 trillion over the next 10 years. Where the difficulty came in and the dispute, if you will, was whether or not they said, we promise that we will reduce our health care costs by 1.5 percentage points. And that's where the dispute came about. But as the week evolved and concluded, there was agreement that these groups would work to help reduce their healthcare spending. And Peter Orszag, who's head of the Office of Management and Budget, did state that this was a very significant concession from these groups, that they admit that costs have to decrease and they would work to help lower costs. So that's how things played out there.
but less of a concession than was characterized at the White House event.
That's correct. I think the bigger point here is it underscores the difficulties ahead on health care reform. Everyone's in agreement, for example, as we've discussed, people need to be covered. Everyone's in agreement that health care costs need to decline. The hardest part is accomplishing all these things. And this particular incident, I think, underscores how hard it's going to be to get changes in the healthcare system that we want and that many people believe have to happen.
Thank you very much. Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. I'm Jackie Judd.
Thank you.